And number five, verse 6, I haven't got my text yet. We will in a little bit. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Mark chapter number 21, and I think of prophecy. A whole chapter is a message of prophecy that Jesus gave, and I'm going to get to a text here in a little bit. I'm just giving you a number of verses. I had a whole list of verses. I just pulled out a few of them to share with you to start with this evening. Jesus, talking about the last day, said men's hearts shall be failing them for what? Fear. And for looking for, or looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, some people get all wrapped up in the signs of the times, of the end times, of what the world's going to be, and that's what the focus is on prophecy. I see two things that tell me that the world, that Jesus is coming real soon. One is the indifference of God's people, and the other is the anxiety that our world is at, fearing the things that are to come. In fact, the word used in Luke 21 and verse 26 for fear is the word, the Greek word is phobos. Does that sound like anything to you? Phobia. Where do we get the word phobia from? What is phobia? Phobia is an unreasonable fear. You can't rationalize with somebody that has a phobia. Anybody here have a phobia? Anybody willing to admit their phobia? Most of us have some kind of a phobia. We're kind of teasing Cindy today of some of her phobias. Linda's not here. I like to make fun of her because she has a fear of flying. We're going to take a trip out to see Rachel and hopefully a new grandbaby in a little over a month. And they say, aren't you afraid to fly? In reality, I'm more afraid to drive from here to the airport than I am to get on a plane and fly to California. There's a greater, there's more danger. Statistically, you're in much greater danger in your car, but we're used to cars, so we don't have that phobia. Well, most people don't. I think of Linda because she's deathly afraid of flying, and I love it. But I only get nervous when some of my children are driving, but and when Chad drives too, he always made me nervous. But a phobia is an unreasonable or irrational fear. I was sharing with Rex that I saw a picture. I was going to send it to Brother Ted. I don't know if I ever did. I set it aside for him. A little, what do they call those little video pictures that they put on? What do they call them? GIF. You don't even know what it means. Nobody knows what those GIF, whatever those things are, of a guy in a kayak paddling between two alligators. And the reality is that wouldn't bother me a bit. I would love to do that. I'd have my camera out taking pictures of him as that guy. But if that was a snake in the water, I'm out of there. But there's some things that are irrational. And I'm irrational when it comes to snakes. But everybody's got something, and most people do. Some people, you know, say, well, they don't, but yeah, you stick around long enough, we'll find out what it is. When somebody has that phobia, that fear, if you don't have a fear of that, you can't comprehend that. I was thinking of our little granddaughter Kinsley. she sent us a little video of her quoting a Bible verse, Psalm 56. By the way, that is a great psalm. Not just the one verse, but that whole psalm. Psalm 56 and verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I remember teaching some of our kids that verse. Now, sometimes there's a reason. She's afraid of any sound she hears at night. I think it has to do something with a couple of months ago, they heard some gunfire across the street from where they live and thought, this isn't good. And they gathered the kids up and went down to the basement, and Chloe dialed 911 and they said at the other end, we already know, we're already there. So, and it was actually them. It wasn't gunfire, but it was one of those grenade things, the flash things that they throw out. The SWAT team was surrounding this house and everything. And I guess that would make me a little bit afraid of gun or sounds in the night after that. But she was dealing with that and trying to teach that. And we fear so many things. This is the new year. Remember Y2K? Huh? Some of you are old enough to remember that. The saddest thing about that is the ones that were the most afraid were Christian people. It's going to be the end of the world. Oh, no. Almost everybody I knew that was afraid of the world ending on Y2K were born-again Christians. The ones that shouldn't be fearing are the ones that are fearing. And speaking of prophecy, I got a picture. I found a picture of this book. If you're old enough to remember Y2K, maybe you can remember a little bit farther back. Remember the book that was a bestseller book for I think a year and a half in Christian bookstores? It was entitled 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming Back in 88. Huh? That's when I lost stock in all teachings of Bible prophecy. And so many Christians got wrapped up into that because they're afraid, and men's hearts are failing them for fear. The ones that shouldn't be afraid are the ones that are the most afraid. Now, I say that to introduce you. I'm still working on the introduction here, all right? Last night, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but I know some have experienced much, and this wasn't really a severe thing, but I woke up with what some people might call anxiety. Silly terms, anxiety attack. I wouldn't jump out a window or something like that, but I don't know what it was. I'm not sure what we ate. It's unusual. Some of that popcorn from the food pantry, that's what it was. Maybe that did it. My heart was racing, and I just had these crazy thoughts of a number of things, and it's not something that normally happens, but for an hour or two, I was just talking to the Lord until finally God calmed things down. And by the way, there's the value of memorizing Bible verses. I'm going to share some Bible verses that God gave me that I memorized a long time ago, and learn to get victory over that. But I was just thinking that there was a number of things. I don't know if you follow the news any. You saw the shooting in a church and all the things that could possibly happen. You get dwelling on those things, and before long, you got yourself in a mess. Hello? Are you with me tonight? I get thinking sometimes, maybe it's because my age, losing my sanity or whatever it is, but maybe it's my health. I think sometimes about our future. I encourage you to have a retirement plan. We have one. It's called heaven. That's about it. I think sometimes, what would happen if I were to pass away or my wife were to pass away, what would happen? I don't know. I think sometimes of the ministry, how fragile, how frail this church is. Something could happen right in 5 minutes that could completely destroy this ministry. If you think about that, it could be something that, if you dwell on it very long, it could cause some anxiety. I think of, you know, there's 1,000 things that could happen, and you can't prepare for one of them. They could happen within the next 24 hours, and you have no way of knowing, no way of preparing for them. And if you get thinking about that, you lose sight of things very easy. I was just thinking that, and God just reminded me that 40 years ago, I decided to live by faith. Every day I got to reenlist that and say, yes, sir, I'm still going to live by faith again today. It's not a one-time commitment. It's an everyday commitment for 40 years. It's been, now the world would say that that's foolishness. Well, if I didn't decide that 40 years ago, this church would not have had a pastor for the last 30 years, to be quite honest with you. And if it wasn't for God's grace and God's faithfulness, I would have lasted about two Sundays down here, and I think they voted on me the fifth Sunday. So, and I'm thankful for God's grace and God's faithfulness. Amen. He's good. But God brought many passages to mind, and I just thought that'd be worth sharing with you. I had something else I was going to share, but I want you to turn Philippians chapter number 4, first of all. And we're just going to read, I got four passages I wrote down, and we're going to look at them for just a moment tonight. And this would be a good thing to face the coming year. With all the things that's happening in our world, and I think back when I was a young person, you'd hear the old time. Did I ever turn this on, Jeff? I guess I should. I told you I was going to use it. I maybe should. I think back when I was a young person, I'd hear the old timers talk about, you know, how bad things are and all this stuff, and I didn't know any different. That's all I ever knew. Now we talk about, you know, the world that we live in today has no resemblance at all to the world that I lived in as a teenager. I mean, zero resemblance to what the world was like back then. And they can't comprehend what we're talking about, and we can't comprehend what they're thinking about today. What can get us through in a year? And these are timeless passages, and these will be a great help to you. Philippians chapter number 1, or chapter number 4, Philippians 4 and verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown. Here's a preacher talking to the people that he's ministered to. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. There's a lifelong study. What was it these two women were at each other's throats about that were causing division in the church? And I won't go any farther than that. What's that? What color the curtains are going to be. If it was men, they would be arguing about what color they are. Is that blue or is that yellow? By the way, that's my experience, and most preachers would tell you that's usually the heart of a problem in any church. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also to yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Those that are saved and living for God, be a blessing, be a help, be an encouragement. Don't be a discouragement to each other. Verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. When are we supposed to rejoice? Always. Always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Your calmness, your peace that passeth all understanding. Doesn't matter what happens, God's still there. Amen? He's still in control. I don't have a thing to worry about. Now, that's easy to say when you're not going through the trial. I don't know, talking with Cindy, I would just joke about this, and I understood this a long time ago. Every surgery is minor when it's somebody else. But if it's on my body, it's a major surgery. I don't care what it is. And when I go to a dentist, that's a major surgery. I'd rather go to have eye surgery than go to a dentist. That's just the way that's one of my phobias, I guess, is going to a dentist. But, God's still in control. That's easy to say until you're being thrown into the fiery furnace. It's easy to say until it's you facing that obstacle. Be careful for nothing. That's a phrase that I want to point at here. Be careful for nothing. Let's finish reading the section of Scripture, though. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with cursings, let your request... Oh, I'm sorry. That's the reality version. All right? With thanksgiving. God, thank you for that I lost my job. I thank you that I just lost a loved one.
We don't do that, do we? Let thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Be careful for nothing. It says in verse number 6. Most of you understand that that word be careful, that phrase be careful, means to be anxious or to be worried about nothing. That particular phrase is used 19 different times in the Bible. And I'm going to look at a couple of those times. I'm going to look at all of them now, as I did this morning. But I'm going to look at a couple of them right now. Be careful for nothing. There's nothing we need to worry about. God's got it all under control. Amen? Well, that's easy to say when things are going good. But when your world falls apart, when your family falls apart, when your health falls apart, don't worry about a thing. Go back, if you will, to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. These are things that ought to be in our mind. In each of these verses, actually, I couldn't quote the entire section of Scripture, but I was thinking of each of these this morning, just talking to the Lord in prayer. Luke chapter number 10. In verse number 41, that's why I picked, as I studied that word, be careful or anxious or worried about nothing. I picked these because these are the verses that God brought to me, and then I saw them again as we were going through, as I was studying this phrase out in the Bible. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 41 said, "And Jesus answered and said unto her," this is Lazarus had died, and Jesus had gone to the funeral. You know the story there. Jesus answered as Martha met him and was trying to get her sister in trouble. Sisters trying to do that sometimes. Martha, Martha, Jesus said, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." That phrase, careful and troubled, is the same word that's used in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing. You're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, and shall not be taken away from her. Of course, Mary had faith in God, and Martha was all busy doing, running here and there, and trying to figure things out. You ever do that? "Oh, I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to take care of this." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, just learn to trust me. Just learn to walk with me. God's got it all under control." And then turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount on Wednesday night, for those that are up here on Wednesday night. And we'll get to this in a couple of months, actually, before we get here. Matthew chapter number 6. And beginning in verse number 25, what an amazing thing this is. Now, again, we read through this and think, yeah, but this is what ought to be coming to our mind when we're anxious, when we're worried, when our hearts are failing us for fear. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." You ever stop to think what that phrase means? If I'm alive tomorrow, doesn't matter. Take no thought for your life. If I wake up dead, that's a funny statement, isn't it? I think of the Syrians, they all woke up dead corpses. Oh, wait a minute. That's one of those funny phrases in the Bible. If I wake up a dead corpse tomorrow morning, God, I'm not worried about it. Because I know where I'm going to be. Amen? Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more than they? Well, don't we get anxious when we don't have proper clothes to wear? We don't have warm enough clothes? We're all worried about our clothes. Well, maybe ladies more than men. Don't worry about it. God will take care of you. Well, that's easy to say when we got plenty of food to eat and plenty of clothes to wear and a warm place to sleep. But when we have nothing, can we still say that? I'm not worried about it. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? I tried that a lot when I was a kid. I always wanted to be taller, but it doesn't work. You can't make yourself taller. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of, what's that say? Little, you know what our problem is? Our little faith. Even the disciples that forsook everything to follow Jesus Christ. How many times in the Gospels did Jesus say, oh, you have little faith? Why couldn't you not just believe? Why couldn't you stay up and pray? Why couldn't you trust me? Why couldn't you stay faithful? Therefore, verse number 31, take no thought saying, what shall ye eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now notice this. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the lost people out there. That's people that don't know the Lord. They're worried about those things. We ought not to be worried about that. Again, I think of the Y2K scare and all the things that God's people are so worried about. That's what the lost people worried about those things. We don't have to worry about that. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows what you need. And verse number 33, and there's the summary of everything right there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things He's talking about? What are these things that He's going to take care of? Our needs, our clothing, our food, our shelter, where we're going to live, what we're going to do. And to be quite honest with you, the devil throws at me all the time, living by faith. And I don't know if I think years ago when I said, I told the Lord and I told the deacons, I'll just leave if that would resolve things. I have nowhere to go and nothing to go with, but by the way, that took a lot of faith on my part just to say that, and I didn't think I had that much faith, God could take care of us. God could meet our needs, but seek first the King, and take no thought for tomorrow. Now, by the way, here's that phrase many times, take no thought for your life. Take no thought. It's the same phrase. Be careful for nothing. Take no thought. The world thinks of these things. We ought not to worry about those things. That's what the world worries about. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil of. That's just the world. It's always going to be that way. It always has been that way. It always will be that way. But we've got a God that's in heaven. Amen? And He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's always faithful. His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. One other passage of Scripture we'll look at and we'll be done tonight. Matthew chapter number 10. I didn't notice it while we're reading in Matthew 6 all the times. I think there were 6 or 7 times where he said, take no thought. And the world takes thought. We don't need to worry. We don't have to be careful about these things. God will take care of it. It doesn't do us any good to worry. And again, I've learned this, but I have to keep relearning it. The things that we worry about, most of them, I guess I mentioned it Sunday night, the devil's a roaring lion. He makes a whole lot of noise. His bark's worse than his bite. And we worry about so many things that we ought not to even consider. But those are the things that the devil will throw at us if we would just have faith in God. In Matthew chapter number 10, Matthew chapter number 10, and beginning in verse number 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And this whole chapter, I wish I could take time to go through this whole chapter, but it's a worthy chapter to look at. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the council, and they shall scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for the testimony of them against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you, and take no thought. There it is. Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Now, how am I going to get through this? God will take care of it. You just focus on walking with God. God will take care of the rest. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. And by the way, the only way the Spirit of God speaks to us is through what? The Word of God. And notice he says, the Spirit of God which speaketh in you. If the Word of God is not in our heart, God can't bring it to our attention. And that's why it's so important to memorize and meditate on the Word of God, to hide God's Word in your heart. Verse number 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother unto death, and the father to the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Just stay faithful to God. And again, that phrase, take no thought. We could go on farther down the rest of this chapter, but we're just going to close there. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Be worried. And I know if young people like I was when I was a young people, yeah, I'm not worried, whatever. But one day you're going to face a whole lot of worry. And I've told people this many times, and I've experienced it in my life, that you are either in a battle for your life right now, or you're going to face one just around the next bend. You'd be best to prepare ahead for that battle rather than waiting until you get on the battlefield. Some would have to learn that the hard way. And that's why it's so important to give yourself to the Word of God. If you don't have a love for the Word of God, if you're not constantly memorizing and meditating the Word of God and have a real relationship with Him and a real walk with Him, when the battle comes, I can pretty much tell you what you're going to do. You're going to learn real quick, or chances are you're going to go AWOL. That's just the way it is. That's just the reality. And we need to be preparing for the battle. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody does. And there's no way we can prepare for it. Unless you're God, He knows what's going to happen. And we can trust in Him. We can rest in Him. We can find our confidence in Him. And we can be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Be worried about nothing. And the more we dwell on that, the more comfort. By the way, after a little while last night, I just slept like a baby. I was going to get up and pray. You know, sometimes God wakes you up and says, but God, I just, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. That's just
time for my third visit to the restroom at that time morning. I might as well just stay up now. But I laid down and thought of God's word. God gave me a number of things, and I just slept like a baby. Because God's got it all under control. And there was a time when I said, "Why it couldn't happen?" But God does have it all under control. Thank God for His grace and for His faithfulness. Let's go to the Lord.